little bit. Yeah, sure.
Because, you know, there's some different kind of stuff.
Edwin, stop bumping into, stop bumping into Benji.
Somebody who can dance
with someone who can tell jokes, it was just all categories together. So hopefully next year they'll break it down, because it's very difficult to have awards somebody dancing really good versus somebody singing very well. So anyway, so we'll see how they're going to revamp that. But they've asked us for next year's award ceremony, or for the Gupwan Mag Pro Award banquet, that we start to document the excellent employees in your department. If you have a project or an activity that you're doing, please start to document how everybody has contributed to that, how it has made a difference to somebody or some place. I mean, you know, there's different things that you can be nominated for. You can nominate yourself, you can nominate your supervisors, you can nominate your departments, and so there's a wide array of categories that you can be nominated, or that the college can participate in. So again, those that want to see a copy of the booklet will be made available for you. Also, I'd like to introduce someone who will join our team starting Monday. We have a new facilities engineer administrator, Mr. Larry Harris, will begin with us starting Monday. Thanks, Larry. Thanks for joining us on your unofficial, voluntold participation. We are voluntold several times to do many things here on campus. And so after this Institutional Strategic Master Plan session, we will have our Thanksgiving luncheon. And again, this really is our time here at GCC to really be thankful for everything that we have, everything that we've been able to do, and everything that we're probably going to do moving forward. And so there's a lot of activities that are still active and alive here on campus. Please don't think I don't recognize some of the areas where we can do or have improvement on. I recognize the funding situation. We just have to get through certain things. We have a new legislature that will come in place. There are several new members of the legislature that will take their oath and be sworn in January. We will do what we can to work with the existing group to get additional funding for the college. But please, we understand and we recognize the challenges that we have. We just have to work together to get through them. Okay, so those of you that have had a chance to read our Institutional Strategic Master Plan, it is available on the website, and it has been available on the website for quite some time now. We've been seeking input to this master plan. Remember that it's a living document. So there's a lot of activities in here that perhaps we started and completed, and maybe there's some new activities that will take place now that are all being captured and will be, again, evaluated and assessed, because this is all part of our accreditation process. Included in this document now, as we move forward, is going to be updates that include the recommendations that came from the accreditation team, or from the accreditation report that we received from ACCJC. So I'm briefly going to go through, I think there's about 100 slides. I'm kidding. I didn't have enough time to do 100 slides. And I didn't put any background or anything, because sometimes the lighting in here is pretty bad. So I'm going to briefly go through what was presented last time. Now, this is not the first time you're seeing this. We did this last year. And so we're going to do this every year because, like I said, it's a living document. I will give you an opportunity to make some comments. There were a few focus groups that we held, and there is some comments that have already been incorporated into this. But if you have additional comments after I go through each of the initiatives or each of the goals of the ISMP, there's only four, After I go through it, we'll have a little discussion, or if you want to bring something up or add something to it, we will capture the information so that we can continue to update this document. Okay, so moving forward to 2014, remember that this master plan, it started in 2009 and carries us through 2014. Those of you at the back, you might want to come up here and have a seat somewhere, because you'll be standing for a while. Okay, so here's our update. Our vision statement, remember the vision statement, it has, of course, a lot more words than what is up here on the screen. Again, you can go back to the ISMP and read it, but here's the excerpt that we presented. GCC will be Guam's premier career and technical institution and finest secondary and post-secondary basic educational institution serving the island's adult community. Okay. Mission statement. Can we say it all together, please? The mission of Guam Community College is to be a leader in career and technical workforce development by providing the highest quality education and job training in Micronesia. This was approved by the board in March of 2009. In January, as is required based on our board policy, we will have an opportunity to update this mission statement. When we update it, everything else gets updated with it. So, if you have a recommendation on how to update this mission statement, or if there's some word or words that you would like tweaked, please submit your recommendations. We will probably have something posted before the January meeting so that people who, you know, want to contribute, and I think there's a group working on this. Okay, the purpose of the ISMP. The Institutional Strategic Plan has four main purposes. One is to serve as a guide to action. So this is our opportunity to identify action items that the college will take on so that we can continue to move forward. It identifies long-term goals and initiatives, serves as our official planning document, and it allows us to communicate long-term vision and plan. Okay, official planning document. That means, as the umbrella document, the ISMP is the umbrella for all the mini plans that we have. The technology plan, the campus facility master plan, all of these mini plans that we have are all attached to this master document. This is the umbrella. This is the umbrella by which we are guided. Okay, the first initiative is pioneering. There's four, like I mentioned, there's four. Pioneering, educational excellence, community interaction, and dedicated planning. And so we'll go through those four major areas. Pioneering is to identify career and technical as well as basic educational skill requirements of the workforce through periodic employers' needs assessments in order to improve the skill levels and productivity of the island's workforce. Okay, why is this important? This goes back to the idea that GCC has to respond to what the community needs. In other words, if they don't need what we're offering, then we really shouldn't be offering it. Agree? Okay? I mean, we're going to teach roller skating. We don't even know that there's a roller skating rink here. It wouldn't make any sense. If we wanted to teach skiing, it wouldn't make any sense. So again, pioneering is engaging the community so that they are aware of what we're doing, and we're aware of what they need. Okay, this is very important, because if we do not engage with the community or what their needs are, we won't get the support, we won't get the students, and we'll probably be spending money that we, well, in the first place, probably don't have. Okay, so there's two strategies and action steps associated with this. And it's the development of employer needs assessment focused on training and educational services, and to develop a program to partner with private workforce training providers. We know that there are many workforce training providers out there. And there's some things that they do that we do. And there's some things that they do, but we do better. And some things that we do that they do better. So how do we overcome that? Again? You work together. You work together. You figure out a way to connect the dots. Again, Guam's too small, so you gotta have a partner. For some of you, I know this is boring stuff, but if you don't understand the meat by which we're rolling on, you'll get lost and fall off the track. Because everyone here is involved in assessment, everyone. If somebody's not involved in assessment, you've been lucky. And if you haven't been involved in assessment, you're not gonna be so lucky. Okay? Okay, what are the benefits of pioneering? It's a process for us to identify regional workforce needs. Regional. The reason why I say regional is because Guam provides services not just for Guam. We provide services for people in Micronesia. We go there, they come here. For the most part, they come here. But sometimes we go there. Not often, but sometimes we go there. The benefit is also to establish educational standards that linked to local and national industry standards. National industry standards, the reason why that's important is because you want to make sure that what we are training is portable, or that somebody's going to recognize it. If I develop a standard that said, we're going to do A, B, C, and D, and nobody in the community recognized that, then maybe I need to change it to what the community is hiring people that have A, B, C, D. That's important because a lot of times industry standards refer to pay for employees. Leveraging public and private resources. This is the Band-Aid effect. And we've done this many, many, many times. Those of you in accounting, whenever you submit a requisition and you have five folks, that's leveraging resources at its best. It is. Because there's no one single pot of money that you can rely on forever. So if you have $100,000 today, and next year it's $90,000, but you're still operating at $100,000, you better figure out where that $10,000 is going to come from. And that's leveraging resources. Okay, a coordinated approach to improve career and technical training services. We always want to improve. Because we need to, and because industry requires us to. Update, 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 update. Okay, so here's now the updates that we've done to pioneering. We conducted a survey in 2008, 11% response rate. Not good. So we did another one in 2011, 40% response rate. Getting a little better. And so our third survey is gonna begin in December of 2012. This will be distributed to the advisory committees, apprenticeship sponsors, Chamber of Commerce, and Guam Contractors Association. These are our partners. These are who we help hire students, or who students go to for employment. Standard operating procedures for establishing private industry and training relationship with individuals outside of GCC completed as of September 2012. Under CE. And then the opportunity to join relevant business service organization on membership basis. In order for us to know sometimes what industry requires, it requires us to be part of their organization, like the Chamber of Commerce, like GHRA, like all the other organizations that are available on Guam. And so membership, I know that at one time we sent out a survey that said, what are you a member of? So that we can start to capture where GCC is present in nonprofit organizations or other organizations that are available on Guam. Okay, so that's first step, pioneering. Or the first initiative. Does anybody have any comments, questions, or are you just totally confused about the first initiative? Say so. Is everybody okay with it? Go back to our mission. Every time you're confused, think about our mission. Think about how it all connects. So we recite it ad nauseum sometimes. But it's good until we change it. then Frank's going to have to translate it again. But that's okay. Okay. Educational excellence. The big piece of educational excellence is the accreditation. This goal is defined by its ability to demonstrate that student learning outcomes are being attained, as gauged by the institutionalized process of systematic and regularized assessment that allows programs and services to identify, analyze, and use assessment results for accountability and program improvement. Assess, assess, assess. That's what I said earlier. You don't know what you're doing well until you assessed it based on something. And you say, my program is great. I have 100% participation. Yeah, because your count is 10. If your count was 100, would it still be 100%? My department's great. It processed 5,000 requisitions. Okay, that's good. How long did it take you to do it? How many complaints did you get as part of that process? The department's great. We issued 5,000 checks. How many of them got stuck someplace? Because the folk was wrong. That's why we assess. Is there something in our process that allows us to do things better? Accountability and program improvement. If you purchased something last year, let's say you purchased a laptop last year, and you submitted a requisition for you this year. Accountability or program improvement? Or let me just try and see if this goes through. Sometimes we get that. Some departments have more computers than they do have people, you know. True? True. Some of us have paper to last 3 or 4 years. Post-its, folders, pens, files. True? True. Some people purchase more than their grant population says they need to purchase for. Population 1,000, purchase 5,000. True? True. Accountability. Okay, so the two strategy and action steps associated with this was to sustain accreditation through improved training programs and enhanced participatory governance process, and link program review and assessment, institutional planning, and resource allocation to student learning outcomes. This resource allocation component, those of you that are developing your 2014 budget, those of you that have asked for new positions, show us the data that you need that extra body. Show us the data. If you're just as an example, if you're processing 5,000 requisitions with a staff of 3, how are you going to justify that fourth person? One way might be automation of something. But that might take your staff of 3 down to 2. Be careful what you ask for. The data will show, if I need an extra faculty in my department, and I have 5 full-time faculty, and I have maybe 40 or 50 adjunct courses, perhaps that department needs an additional person, depending on what those courses are. Linking assessment, program review assessment to resource allocation is a challenging thing. But every time you ask for something now, think of how is it linked to what I do and how is what I do linked to student learning. Even the administrative area is linked to student learning indirectly. If a student doesn't get their Pell check, boy, I tell you, student learning is affected. If the power's not turned on, or the air conditioners don't work, student learning is affected. Everything we do, student learning is affected. You may not see it every day, it might be hard to measure, but student learning is affected. What are the benefits of educational excellence? Reaffirmation, SLO-driven courses and programs, and maintain assessment model to evaluate and make programmatic changes. If our model of assessment is continuous, you're going to see in your departments, just like a mini review, I've done this and I can do this based on these resources. But if you want me to do something more, I need this. You're not getting this unless you put it in your assessment. So make sure that if you're asking for something or you need something in order to operate or to expand, that it's in your assessment. That's where you're going to get your resources. Okay, so update. Full accreditation successfully obtained July 2012. Participatory governance structures formalized. Develop process for evaluating non-credit. This is directly out of the accreditation report. This is an update. We now have to develop a process for evaluating non-credit courses, workshops, and training sessions. We have to evaluate existing governance policies and practices, implement process to evaluate effectiveness. In other words, we have the participatory governance structure in place. How do we know that it works? And what are we going to use to measure that it works? Things to think about. Foster dialogue among program faculty and the Learning Outcomes Committee. Review resource allocation to ensure sufficient funds to provide training, maintenance, equipment, software support, and implement college technology plan. And allocate a percentage of the funds for supporting additional resources to the library when new programs are developed or existing programs modified. In other words, if we have some new program, the library needs to be able to have those resources so that students know or students can have access to them. Increase compliance rate of curriculum revision process to ensure courses and programs are not over 5 years old and that they are current with community and industry standards. And evaluate safety and security of physical records to protect the integrity of student records. These are the activities for educational excellence. Any comments, complaints, suggestions? You're all good. Yes, Jane. Some courses may require something less than 5 years, but 5 years has been established as our benchmark. And so at some point, if the faculty in a certain department feel that because technology is rapidly changing, that they want to review or update their curriculum to reflect that new process or new model, then that's fine. Not necessarily, no. But remember, if you want funding to support your curriculum, it better be in your curriculum first. Make sense? Otherwise, if we buy the curriculum or we buy whatever it is you need to support a program and it's not in place yet, it might sit there for a while. That doesn't make sense. So if you want to update something, again, go back to the data. The data says that in order for me to expand or move forward on something, I need this. This needs to be supported by something. Not an idea. A link to assessment, program review and assessment. Any other questions? Yes.
Orders of books, we
okay?
Yeah, a lot.
We need to review the return process, Colleen.
I know we do have the new textbook policy in the website that they're supposed to submit prior to them updating or getting new standard books, but I guess it hasn't been enforced in recent years.
Okay. So we'll take a look at that. We've got to look at the return policy for inventory reduction. And the reason why we had that policy before, not policy, we had that process before is because at a certain point during the semester, we return all the books that are bought. Because if you're in the process of updating your curriculum, we don't want to get stuck with it. So we'd rather get a credit of some sort to return the book, even though rather than dead inventory. Because dead inventory means nothing to us, because we're not going to go backwards. So, any other comments? Yes?
Physical records include software or electronic data?
Yes. It should. Anyone else? Okay, next, community interaction. This goal aims to improve awareness of the college and increase public and fiscal support for its vision, which in the long run is intended to reduce GCC's financial dependence on the government of Guam. Indirectly, we've been reduced through no effort of our own. 100% of our general fund is salaries. That's the reality of it. Last year, it was salaries, power, water. This year, zip. Only salaries, 100%. So indirectly, they pushed us to figure out where the additional funding is going to come from. They meaning our appropriations, nobody specific. You know who they are. Okay, so what were the strategy and action steps associated with this initiative? Grow programs, go green, give now. Create an employer, donor, and alumni outreach program, embark on an enrollment campaign, develop a marketing plan which helps to enhance GCC's brand identity and increase enrollment and improve student retention. So where are we with these activities? We've increased grant funding. That's evident. Scholarship donations have also increased significantly. Increase in workforce development and training projects have been available through grant funding. So there's been grants to support workforce development and training. So what are the things we need to do? Pursue renewable energy projects on campus. We have some. Perhaps we should plan more green activities or green events. Increase workplace giving program, naming opportunities, and volunteerism. Now, there's still a lot of things that we can do in this area. Yesterday I attended a meeting at the University of Guam. Apparently there's an energy task force that the governor created. And so one of the questions during that session was, how is the idea of going green or energy conservation embedded into curriculum K through 16? And so that's going to be something that they're going to try to embed in the Common Core somehow. But they've also asked if we can include it in all of our courses somehow. So that's just something that was discussed. One of the other things is that there is an initiative by the students to say or to request that we don't have any styrofoam on campus. So in other words, the vendors should not be using styrofoam. The BCS cafe and the new cafe that will open up, when we have activities here, we should not be using styrofoam. We should be using recycled material. So that's an initiative that the students now have, they're working on that. And I think I've seen a draft of it. I'm not quite sure where it is right now, but that's one of the activities that they'd like for us to do. What is the benefit? Community awareness and affinity for GCC. Well, I tell you, they're aware of us and they just love us. That's why they keep cutting us. Public and private support for GCC vision. Private support is increasing, by the way. Diverse financial resources and a formal recruitment campaign. So as far as, let me just get through this first. Okay, so we already know we've reached the enrollment 44% in the last 4 years? 40% in the last 6 years. That's a significant increase. Look at our budget over the last 6 years. Probably down about 30. Okay? Any questions? Community interaction. Just for the sake of those, just so that you're aware that the community supports us, we got an invitation last night to Hotel Nico, celebrating 20 years on Guam. Hotel Nico gave us a big check. Of course, you can't cash a big check. For $10,000 last night. They gave us a check for $10,000, and probably for the next 5 years. 20 years ago, when Nico Guam opened, they gave us $50,000. And that's why Hotel Nico has a room at the foundation building. So rededicating that room reignited that relationship with Hotel Nico Guam. 20 years ago, they made that donation. And 20 years later, they're still here to support us. Little things like that are things that, you need to be aware of, because I'll tell you, when you have to decide which hotel to go to eat dinner or to stay at, maybe we need to start saying, here's our donors, go support our donors, because they're supporting us. So that's something that we can do to reciprocate their commitment to us. And if we give them business, they give us more. And believe me, we'll ask for more. Okay, so we've gotten some folks that are, willing to donate money to the college. We have some folks that want to partner with us for grants. There's a lot of grants now that are joint partnerships with someone else. Not always do we have the expertise in all areas, but if you partner with someone, your application's a lot stronger, because you've got one strength and they've got another. And when you put those two together, it probably fits the grant application a lot better than if we were to write it ourselves, because there's a void that we have to fill. Any questions on this? Nobody? Okay. Dedicated planning. The goal of dedicated planning is to provide a means to measure progress towards attaining the vision of the college each year, through a systematic review and evaluation, the results of which are utilized to inform decision-making at the college at all levels. Several activities. Create a dedicated planning force to develop a measurement orientation program and utilize the existing two-year assessment planning cycle. What have we done? Oh, benefits. Determine benchmarks and determine success in meeting benchmarks. Improve data collection, improve institutional effectiveness, and to provide continued support from the community, internal and external. There's a lot of internal planning that we do. And that's necessary because in order for us to update our processes, we have to do it internally so that we can work externally. Make sense? Some of you are falling asleep. Okay, this is tough. This is a tough thing to do, but we're going to do this every year. Maybe next year I'll put animation in it and I'll have somebody recite or dance and do a skit on whatever initiative it is. Or maybe somebody can tell a joke about a section like dedicated planning. Oh my God. We'll probably have a casket up here. Okay. Updates. Task force was convened in 2011, and they will reconvene again to include any or incorporate any of the recommendations made. We had a focus group in October, and so this is considered additional information if you want to add, even after we leave here today. Develop qualitative assessments for each project plan. Again, remember I said project plans are everything. The technology plan, the campus master plan, these are not things that we're just gonna, you know, take a look at and say, okay, here's the next building we're gonna do, even though we have funding for something else. No, we have to modify all of these plans based on funding availability, needs assessment, just all kinds of stuff. But we're also going to incorporate ACC-GAC's rubric for evaluating institutional effectiveness. Part of this dedicated planning includes publishing scheduled timetable to disseminate status of the plans. Now, this timetable goes to faculty, staff, administrators, of course, the management team, the board, and at some point it will involve the community so that they know what we're doing and which way we're going. But it allows us to include the collection of evaluation data and submission of metrics for evaluation. Whenever we have community briefings with industry partners, we always go back to the information on the fact book that says X percent of our students that come to GCC require remedial math and English. We always use the data there. Here's the number of students we have in our culinary program post-secondary. Here's the number of students we have pro-start secondary. That information in the fact book that we're gathering is important depending on what constituent group you're talking to. Because if I gave them the whole book and say, here, take a look at this. No, industry is very specific. If I'm gonna look for a donor, for example, for culinary, I'm just gonna give them culinary stats. Probably hospitality, but something that's related to what business they do. So if there's something in the fact book, that's another document, but if there's something in the fact book that you feel that maybe we need to start capturing data on, let us know. Let us know so that we can start to capture the data as well. Oh, goodness, you're done. Okay, any questions? Yes, ma'am. Okay, the requirement from ACC-JC that in regards to distance education is we have to develop a separate strategic plan for distance ed. In other words, one is industry or is anybody asking us to do distance ed? If they're not asking us, we shouldn't be doing it. Or if they're asking us, is it 10 people? Is it 20 people? Let me tell you, the requirements for 10 people on distance ed is the same requirement if there were 2,000 people. In other words, if 10 people take distance education courses here on campus, you've got to provide them 24-hour tech support, whether there's 10 students or 2,000 students. Okay? That plan is going to tell us what are the numbers and should we be investing the resources to make that happen? Or, how do we gradually include it? On day one, when you have 10 students doing distance ed, you gotta have the tech support. A year later, you're still gonna have tech support required, but you might need additional tech support, maybe two people, 24/7. So those are things we have to look at. First, we gotta find out who's asking us to do distance ed. And what is distance, what is the definition of distance ed? Does distance ed mean I'm going to fly to Chuuk and I'm going to teach a course there because my students are in Chuuk? They don't have internet connectivity, so that's not distance ed. distance ed. So you need to, we need to take a look at that on the expansion, because it's very important that when you start to offer that, even if your population is targeted for people on Guam, the minute you go online, you got to be available for someone somewhere else to take the course. Because it doesn't say Guam residents only, distance education. It's on the web. What if somebody in Africa wants to take the class? See, and that's why we needed to halt what we were doing with distance ed, because we would have used up all the bandwidth, not have enough MIS support, and we would have probably financially gone under. Very expensive. So you've got to have the infrastructure, not just one. Where's Frank? You got to have a redundant thing. What if it flops today? That redundant network better be up and running, because that class is 24/7. Because you're no longer operating on Guam time zone, you're now operating on the time zone around the world. So that's the challenge. There are a lot of organizations, institutions that do it. University of Hawaii does distance ed. The University of Hawaii is a whole system. The University of Hawaii supports all of the community colleges. They have a vice president just for technology. But they, you know, like I said, I mean, that's 7 community colleges in Maui, Kauai, Hilo, and Oahu, that are all operated under one IT structure and support. But that's why they're able to do distance ed. They've got the capacity. They've got the bandwidth. Okay? So those are the things, even in the accreditation, we need to be very careful. Because what is available for 10 students, the requirement is significant. So we just need to make sure that we monitor that closely. But we have to develop the plan in order for us to do that, so that we don't go under. Yes?
Speaking of partnership interaction and community involvement, I kind of missed our visit. I think the last visit we made was Santa Rita, where we go with you to the villages.
I haven't been to Santa Rita since Halloween. Before that, it was last Halloween. I'm serious, but.
Hear the community's wish list, what they want us to do for them, what are their aspirations, what their expectation of the college in terms of service.
Okay, thank you, Juan, for volunteering. We want to have a special. John Ryder.
Oh, yes.
Okay. At one time, Dr. John Ryder had a discussion about GCC setting up something at the mall. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that I have asked Loli to do, contact somebody at the mall. I tell you, there's been dead space there for a long time. Long time. Danny Shopping Center has stalls that have been vacant for maybe 5 years now. Micronesia Mall has space that has been vacant, or they just don't have enough people in there. Maybe they can donate the space and we can have sessions on something relating to adult ed or GED or college access, or even a class on continuing ed, health certificate testing, something. That's where people are going, or maybe that's where they can go. They're gonna drop the kids and go watch a movie. But that's something that we'll look at, because that's also a way of the community contributing and partnering with us in our educational mission.
Yes, sir. Since a large majority of you are here, college access is planning to have the college access resources here come February 23rd, 2013. We're inviting GCC, and our community partners to share the information with how the population is observed. Also, I want to comment that yesterday, the community red paper was a very successful community purpose orientation yesterday. There wasn't enough time, but surprisingly, we wanted more time. So, have ideas in which you want to partner with college access to share information about your kids, feel free to let me know. And we'll invite you to our community partnership organizations and future workshops.
Okay, thank you. I've gone to several of the mall events that GCC's, not just, GCC sponsors events, but there's also been other organizations that sponsor. I'll tell you, sometimes that mall is packed. I don't go to the mall here. I don't. Lord forbid somebody walks out with the same clothes I'm wearing. But that's why. But there's a lot of people that do go to the mall. Where else is there to go? How many of you heard Tony LaMarina's joke about the bikini last night? The only place you can go is the mall or the beach. Right? Where else is there to go? Water park. There's not a lot of places to go here, but there's a lot of things you can do and have fun. Kids nowadays are spoiled. We used to play with rocks.
That's true.
They are. Now they're avatars. We used to play with rocks. That's how we entertain ourselves. These kids are lucky now, but they want to go to the mall. So there's a lot of kids there. There's a lot of people that don't know about GCC. A lot of people do, but there's still a lot of people that don't know about GCC. Just walking around the mall sometimes when they're having these events, well, you see a lot of people. A lot. It's actually good. Campaign ground. That's where you see a lot of people campaigning too. So when you see somebody there, that's your opportunity to get contact with that person who approves our budget or signs our appropriations or gives us money for something. Community partners go there. Donors go there. Some of the donors are there at the mall. Anyone else? Any other suggestions? Yes.
It's not necessarily a suggestion, but I notice that anytime we're at the mall and they'll ask, oh, you're a teacher, out of your mouth you'll say, yes, I work at GCC. Everybody wants to, they don't stop the conversation. They want to know more. So those of us who are there with these people, we'll talk a little bit about what we do. But I wish we had, like, when they do that, we just whip out a little card with a little cliff note thingy there, and he says, here, call. That kind of a thing.
Okay. Jane now has work.
Sorry, Jane.
She's not here. She's trying to pick up But yeah, informational booklets are, I mean, how many of you would really carry an informational booklet about GCC would burst?
I know, it's like a
shame. I know Loli will. If her purse is big, she's got tickets. But yeah, I mean, I've seen people's business cards that have their name on the front and then more information on the back than they do on the front. They'll talk about all the different programs and stuff on the back of their cards, and so that might be something else that you can consider. But yeah, little informational cards or something would be good. Anyone else? Okay, so here's the hard part. Many of you have been here for a long time. If you were to change something at GCC, what would it be and why? This is not a beauty pageant question, so all of you can respond. If you were to change something at GCC, what would it be and why? When I met with students not too long ago, the students asked for Friday classes, Saturday classes. Nobody said Sunday, but Friday and Saturday. So we did a little survey. That was a student response. If you were to change something at GCC, what would it be and why? Information on base, but we're restricted as to what we can offer on base. primarily because they have a regional contract that we have to abide by. So the only things that we can offer to military personnel on base are things that are not offered by University of Maryland and all the other contractors. So that's our restriction, but yes, that is definitely something that we should continue to consider, military outreach, especially now with the GI Bill and the benefits that military personnel have. Okay, Vic's going at 1:30 today, so he'll be presenting. Yeah. GCC website, only because we've been having, I don't want to say a lot of discussion on it, but there, we've been discussing with folks about providing housing for students. It's just a discussion. It's not going to be GCC operated. It is only to identify whether students are in need of housing. I'm not in the housing business. I don't like real estate of that sort because it requires too much maintenance, upgrade, and all that kind of stuff. So, but the question is, are students, and if some of you that have direct contact with students, if you have an instance where students are asking for some place to stay or recommendations on where to stay, I would like to provide them with options that we have partnered with, not that we're running, just options so that they know that GCC has a partnership with this company or this apartment complex or something. Because there's several facilities that we've been asked actually to rent, and like I said, I'm not in the rental business. So if you know of students that are interested in that, please let us know. We're probably going to put a survey on the portal so that students can respond to it, just so that we can have a conversation regarding it. Yes, Jolene.
Increase the number of courses that can fully transfer to
UOG. Okay. So right now we know that the liberal arts degree, I know education is working on education, CJ is working on the CJ articulation, and accounting. Did I miss anything? CJ, education, accounting, and then liberal studies right now.
How about banking and nursing?
Not yet. Not yet in nursing. Remember that UOG has an associate's degree in nursing. Yes, Wes.
What about the more local artwork on campus, you know, whether it's paintings or sculptures? You know, in Omega, a lot of colleges have, you see that, right? Sculptures and local artwork. We have a lot of space to show these things. So that would be nice if we promote the local culture through artwork.
Okay, where's Juanita? Where are you? Only because when the library used to be at the old foundation building, every month there used to be some really nice display, and you used to advertise to the campus community that, you know, we have this exhibit over at the library. Now that you have a huge library, it might make sense at some point to start offering that. Now, the artwork I know is an important thing. We do have some art pieces, in case you didn't know, that we have been, that has been given to us by CAHA. And they're in the, I know there's one in, is it in Jane's office? There's at least two or three pieces that are on loan to us by CAHA. And they take an inventory of that every year. But if there's something that we want to do in terms of art, we just need to make sure that it's in a secured area. So maybe something at the student center, in the student lounge, we might want to consider as well. But the library, like I said, we used to have exhibits and displays at the library all the time. And there's a, right underneath the staircase, down at the library, might be something you would like to consider at some point. Thanks, Wes. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
That's part of the conversation that's been part of the transportation. We collaborate on the work of the master plan to have more transportation.
You're not going to get much out of that.
Transportation is a catch-22. And I'll just share with you my view. This is just my view. The car dealers on Guam sell so many cars because we don't have mass transit. That if we have mass transit, then the number of cars sold is going to go down. But at some point, Guam has to do something about mass transit. It's just who's going to do it and when. I mean, so that's something to think about. If we can identify, and again, it goes back to needs assessment. If we can identify that more students on Guam will come to college or come to get educational opportunities, if they have the transportation, if we can tell that to the legislature, say, look, our students on Guam want to come to school, so figure out how the bus system is going to work. That might be an opportunity for us to provide that information to them. Right now, we don't have the data. But that might be something that we can encourage as educational partners. Maybe it's something the tri-board can address. So that's an excellent suggestion, because the tri-board will meet sometime soon. As soon as the president and superintendent might get together, probably at the end of the month. But that will be something that we can probably ask the tri-board to submit to the governor or submit to the legislature, so that more students have access to education. Thank you. That's actually very good.
Just ask the questions and then they will come.
Anyone else?
Okay.
Yes. He's cautious now.
We have a space for the scooter and the bike, but I think, I'm just thinking maybe what we're missing is a mail drop box. Can we have a post office, you know, those blue stands? So for students, and it takes time for me to run to the
post office. We can ask. I don't know what the federal requirements are on that, but postal service. Okay, no, we're not doing services. We're just going to do a Dropbox. Okay, I'll tell you. If we do a Dropbox and they end up with the balutan containers and the soft drink cans and stuff, then I tell you that's going to go away real fast. So we'll have to ask what the requirements are for us to have that. Okay, one. Let me get your question, and then I'll have to say one more thing.
Go ahead. I need a comment for that, because we are working on that issue with the bookstore. GCC is not registered as One Sesame Street, so if you have that on your letterhead, you need to remove it. Mm-hmm. U.S. Post Office does not register One. They have a serial number. Right now, GCC address is not registered with the U.S. Post Office. They will not deliver to our establishment if you are using our serial number One Sesame Street. The only reason why they've been delivering was because somebody worked there and he knows where GCC is.
Okay. So, thanks for bringing that up. And the reason why, okay, now I can plant that comment, but the discussion I wanted to have when you brought up about the post office is our intention of Sesame Street. The boundary for GCC is outside of Sesame Street. It's actually on the other side of the road. In other words, Sesame Street is not a road. It's something Big Bird named a long time ago, and GCC got caught underneath its wing. So, we have had discussions with the mayor, with Department of Land Management. DPW is aware of this. We have had discussions with them. We want to reclaim Sesame Street as GCC property and move that gate outside. Okay. Yeah. But.
Here's the but.
Now, we got to be a little careful about how we do this. The reason why I've asked for that property back is because we need the parking. And the intent right now is for us to turn that into a one-way street. In other words, you come up BPM and you go this way. In other words, you can't go back that way. So the intent is for us to turn it into a one-way street. Now, the political part of it is going to be, oh, you know, we need to get to Big Bird or wherever we need to go, and we have to pass the other way. Okay? Well, we will deal with that. But that's what we're planning to do, because we really need more parking. If we turn it into one way, we will have more parking outside diagonally up in the front of the campus. Plus, it allows us to secure the campus a little bit more. Because right now, we need the space. Remember that across from Victoria Mart, that triangle is also our property. And so somehow, if we're able to, I don't know how we're going to do that piece, but we need to develop that into true parking for us or something. We really need more parking here. So I'm glad you brought that up, because we will have some discussions about this. I'm hoping that we will begin the community discussion, and it's community discussion only. We don't have to go to land use or anything like that as far as I know. But the community discussion is GCC's intent is to make that one way because it is our property. So we're going to work and see how we can do that. And it may cause a little bit of commotion, but we want enough information to go out ahead of time before the next academic year starts. So hopefully that'll come through real quick. Okay, so that was the final piece I wanted to tell you about on Sesame Street. For those of you that don't know, or probably haven't been paying attention as much as you should have, Building 200 is scheduled to go down fairly soon. So we will still have construction in this area We're not anticipating to break ground before the end of the year, but probably by the first quarter of next year. So there's going to be some movement going on campus as far as all those folks in 200. Right now, education is going to A8 and A9, so they will have a classroom and their faculty offices. Johnny Z's class will go to the old project game. And IT guys, I mean, take note of this because we're going to have to move all that stuff. Johnny Z's class is going to go to the old project game. 107, the old 107. And then the faculty that are here in 200 are going to go into the old CSI apprenticeship office. Down here. Right down the stairs, on the left side. 303, thank you. So that's where, okay, and then the education classrooms, okay, Monsana Lab is in the conference room at the Foundation Building, and two of the classrooms will be education. There will be no secondary classes in the Foundation Building. Okay, so that's where there's going to be some movement in the next. I know Adult Ed is finalizing if they haven't already finished moving out of A8 and A9. But so once that thing is complete, then we'll do some cleanup so that the other folks can start moving. Okay? Any other questions? So that's what's happening now. 200 is the next building to go offline so that we can start renovation, construction, and it will become two-story. Yes? You must live in Santa Rita. Okay, Greg, take note of that. He just gave you an assignment, you and John. So we need to get some idea on how that stuff's going to be scheduled. Theta, where are you? We may need to store it someplace in the interim. Okay, also, please, I did visit some classrooms the other day, and I was very disappointed because we have some cabinets that normally are used for storing paper and school supplies and stuff. We have broken chairs shoved up in them. Please, if you guys have broken equipment or furniture, please let Theta know so that we can get rid of them. We're probably gonna do some renovation of the classrooms in the D wing at some point, because we had a discussion about how some of that stuff needs to be refurbished, because that is starting to look really old. So we're going to start upgrading the classrooms. I think two classrooms a year. We were able to identify some tobacco money for CIP. I just need to get the board to approve it. But that CIP tobacco money is only for renovations. So that's not something that, you know, just because you think that there's money now that you can use for something else. It really is only for CIP renovations. So we'll probably use those to upgrade the classrooms. Somebody else had a question before we go. Yes, Chelsea.
I had a comment for the paper issue. In the interim, before we procure an incinerator, if they have the ability or the capacity to shred it, Peggy Denny comes up and she's picked up our shredded paper and gives it to local farmers who use it for composting.
Okay.
And she comes up in her truck. We just helped her load her truck up and she took it off for us.
Okay, that's good.
And I have her number, so if you have we have a shredder, but I don't know how that works with inter-department stuff, but if you
The only thing we can't shred are those that are moldy, termited, termited we can, but the moldy, sticky, yucky, gooey junk, those are the stuff we can't, we'll break the shredder. So some of the stuff we may have to burn anyway. Okay, so that's all I have unless, yes.
I got three guys that I can't email, or maybe some people can email them. I have any questions for the computer. I don't care if they're...
Okay, oh, we got that. We got that.
Thank you.
Yes. Send them a text, it might be faster. Okay, bro, last one.
I just want to have... You said there's the property, the triangle property.
Yes.
I'm going back to, we have the resources. Have we ever looked at a parking garage?
Yes, it's in the master plan. It's over here.
Oh, okay. For that area or?
No, this side.
Oh.
It's actually, there is a proposed parking structure over the pounding basin. That's where it is on the master. Again, it's on the master plan for the campus facility master plan as a potential location for the parking garage. But at some point, if it's not feasible for us to, you know, put it in that particular area, we may have to shift. Okay. So I know some folks have to.
Sorry, Jane called. The turkey is on its way, so we've got more time to take questions.
Yeah, no, I gotta go home and get the other turkey. So, but it's cooked. I'm a little antsy today because I've been up early. So anyway, so you can break for a few minutes. We just need to get the rest of the food here, and then we'll have lunch, and we will be available for lunch till 1 o'clock, and then after that, it's back to work. Today. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're using a car. Go for and take it with you. You're not leaving the building. Yeah, take it with you, Lon, because you know what? I might have to step away. Mm-hmm.